This Sunday is the last Sunday of our Fruit of the Spirit series, and I hope that you have enjoyed it. I hope that you have learned some things as we've gone through it along the way, and we took some time last week. We talked about meekness or gentleness, and I'd share that some of the translations will use different words in that verse, so your Bible's not broken. I don't want you to think that or feel that. It really is just each word is interchangeable. But what we learned is that we're called to be meek. We're called to be meek in our relationship with God, which means yielded, which really means it's His will, not our will. We're called to be teachable, which is to understand that I don't know it all and I need to continue to learn to be more like Him. And we also have to be responsive, which is obedience is the key. And He says that throughout His Word. You know, obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. God says, simply obey me and walk with me. And the only way for us really to do this is through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? And so gentleness and meekness, gentleness tends to refer to action and what we do and the actions that we take. Meekness refers often to attitude, the spirit in which we do things with. And so in our lives, we need to have right actions and right attitudes. Amen? You ever been in an equation that only one of those was functioning? You did the right thing with the wrong attitude, or you did the wrong thing with the right attitude, and it just doesn't feel in alignment with what God, it's because we're off. Right actions and right attitudes, and the way that we're able to do this, and one of the ways that we're able to grow and to apply these things to our lives is when we find ourselves in situations, instead of reacting, which tends to be pure flesh, you know what I mean? That initially our first reaction is almost always what our flesh thinks, what our flesh feels, what our flesh wants to say, what our flesh wants to do. Instead of reacting, we respond. And when you respond to things, you have time to allow the Holy Spirit to speak. You have time to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to feel about this? How do you want me to act towards this? And when we respond instead of react and listen to the Holy Spirit, we can respond in a godly way. And that is how God can be honored in every situation in our lives. Even if you're in a bad situation, even if you're in a tough situation, even if you're in one of those places that it doesn't seem like you can win, you just may lose not as much as someone else. I'm telling you, God can be honored in that situation, if you will listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And so we need the Holy Spirit to be at work in us, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. We need Him to be at work. And so Paul, in this, he's talking to the Galatians, and they're kind of falling back into the flesh. They're falling back into wrong actions and wrong attitudes. And he's challenging them not to get caught up in the flesh, but to be led by the Spirit. And to be led by the Spirit, I need to be in right standing with God, because it's hard to follow something I don't hear correctly. Right. I'm old enough. I'm gonna let you in. I am old enough to realize that I don't hear like I used to hear. And there are times in the house that my beautiful bride will say something to me, and I think I heard her, and then I do what I thought she asked me to do, only to discover it is not what she asked me to do. And then she's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm looking at her like, you just said this. What? You said, put the cat in the microwave. I don't understand it, but I don't understand women. And so I'm just trying to be a supportive, loving husband. I didn't turn it on much. I just put, you know, it's just, I don't always hear the way I used to hear it. And to be in right standing with God, I need to hear God clearly and correctly. And so what happens is in our lives, what we've got to understand is sin and things try to knock us out of alignment so that we don't hear the way we're supposed to hear. Because if I don't hear it right, I might have a hard time doing it right. And so I want you to understand that there are areas, when there's areas of my life that are outside of who God is and what God calls me to be, or out of alignment with His Word, that's going to hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I want you to really get this, and I'm going to roll because I know we're pushing, but I'm going to get you through this. I don't believe that sin causes God to work less for my life. I know some of them, when you feel like you trip up and you fall down, you feel like God stops working for you. God stops trying to. It's not true. Your sin does not stop God from working for your life or loving you less. But what sin does is blind me and bind me. It blinds me in the way that I don't see all that God is doing and all that God has done. And it binds me in a way that I sometimes miss the moments that God has set out in front. Sin will rob you of what God is doing for you. You say, well, what is God doing for him? Ephesians 2:10, all the things that God has prepared in advance for us to do, that we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sin can cause me to miss those things. And I got through my day, I got through my week and said, you know, how was my week? It was okay. God says, man, I had an awesome week planned for you. And had you listened, had you stopped in that conversation and listened to what I was saying, you don't know what you missed out on. We've got to be able to hear and we've got to be able to listen. And to do that, we've got to abide in him. And that's how the Holy Spirit has his way in us. And that's how we bear fruit that will remain. And the verse that we used last week as a core one was John 1:32. And it says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And Jesus changed so much about the way ministry was done and faith was lived. Because in the Old Testament, it was always God would select a person for a task. They would do the task. And then God would select someone to do this, and it went like that. But when Jesus came, he kind of showed us that there can be this lifestyle that the Holy Spirit can remain on us, that God can say, I'm going to use you and you and you and you. We'll say, how long, God? For the rest of your life. Amen. If you will listen and you will obey, I will use you until you slip from this life on to the next, and you will see a legacy. You will see what I have done, because you'll hit those moments. And it says the Holy Spirit came like a dove and it landed on his shoulder. And I encourage you, if you had a bird come down and land on your shoulder and you didn't want it to fly away, wouldn't you walk different? Wouldn't you talk different? Wouldn't you live a little different? Wouldn't you function just a little bit different? Wouldn't you change some of the things about your life and the way that you do life so that it would not fly away? Man, I want the hand of God on me. I want the Holy Spirit anointing my life. And however I need to change, however I need to walk different or talk, God, do it in me. Because I want that bird to stay. I preached this last week and told you and encouraged you all about this. I'm driving home. I get a text. It was safe. I wasn't reading my text. I was steering with my knee. So I had to flip open. No, I did. I get this text. It says, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. I'm driving home. I look at the car beside me, and there's a woman driving, and she's got a parrot on her shoulder. I said, and that, my friend's the Holy Spirit. So, I love it. I love it. I think it's just fantastic. Dude, that's what God was saying to us today. But the thing is this, if we in our lives and throughout our lives can continue to bear fruit, we can be used, and listen to me, in every season of life. You got to get that. We go through seasons. We go through seasons where we feel too young to do anything. No one's going to listen to me. No one's going to respect me. I'm just a kid. They just treat me like a kid. Listen, God says, if you will walk with me and let me use you in every season of your life. Some of you got a couple of gray hairs, and you think your used of God time is done. You were wrong. Because God can use you in every season of your lives. Pastor, you don't understand now. I've got kids and I don't have the time like I used to have. Oh, when I was younger, I had time. I could go to church all day and be there all night. It didn't matter. I just don't have the time. No. God can use you in every season of your life. We just got to have the right action with the right attitude to be what God is calling us to be and experience what God has in store for us. If we'll remain in him, I'm telling you, the hand of God can be on your life today and for the rest of your life. We got to trust that. Now, our core verse for the series, Galatians 5:22-23, and I'm going to read it for the last time. Here it goes. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. When I say for the last time, I don't mean like ever. I mean, all right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So we're going to take a little time this morning. We're going to talk about self-control. Now, the very concept of self-control, the word itself really implies, and it lends itself to feeling like this, that there is a battle between divided self. That there's a part of my life that wants to be everything God says. There's a part of my life that doesn't matter what God says, my answer is yes. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to say what you want me to say. I want to go where you tell me to go. And I'm going to love who you tell me to love. And then there's a part of my life that wants to say no. I'm tired. I'm busy. I don't know if I want them in heaven. God, they're jerks. Don't tell me you've never thought it. Don't tell me you never thought it. I want them to go to heaven, so I hit them with my car. I mean, it's not true. It's not true. But there's this battle, and we all have experienced this one time or another where our flesh desires things that we want, but they're not spiritually healthy for us. And there's a part of us that wants to do God's things God's way. And then there's a part of me that wants to do what I want to do. And our self produces desires that we shouldn't satisfy, but rather we should control. And that's what Jesus says in Luke 9:23. He said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Now, Paul in the book of Galatians, he does this wonderful job, especially in chapter 5, of contrasting people who live their lives between the fruit of the Spirit and between the fruit of the flesh. And this is how he says it in the Contemporary English Version, Galatians 5:19-26. People's desires make them give in to immoral ways, filthy thoughts, shameful deeds. They worship idols, practice witchcraft. They hate others. They're hard to get along with. I love how being hard to get along with is right in there with hating people and witchcraft. That's pretty serious. People become jealous, angry, selfish. They not only argue and cause trouble, but they're envious. They get drunk, carry on at wild parties. They do other evil things as well. I told you before, I'm telling you again, no one who does these things will share in the blessing of God's kingdom. God's Spirit makes us loving and happy and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled. And there's no law against behaving in any of these ways. And because we belong to Christ Jesus, we have killed our selfish feelings and desires. God's Spirit has given us life, so we should follow the Spirit. Don't be conceited. Talking about spiritual pride, don't be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are. Listen, the difference between living a life that is flesh-controlled or spirit-controlled is what he's talking about. Now, the word in the Greek here is engratia, and it means true mastery from within. True mastery from within. So it is this internal thing that helps us to master our lives. Now, if you break it down a little bit more, which I did because I thought we could make it a little more simple. If I want to break it, it'd be this. To get a hold of or to get a grip on. So the title of this message is Get a Grip. Get a grip. I can remember, I know it's shocking. As a child, I may have been a little rambunctious. And I just know if my mom could catch me, I was in trouble. But if mom got a hold of me, oh, Lord, it was like the bear claw. I was trapped. It didn't matter how much I twist, how many circles I tried to run, her arm would just stretch. I could not get away. I was in it. I was in it. And the implication is to get your hands on something until it is under control. That's what he's talking about, being self-controlled. Get a hold of it. You ever see, put your life together. Get a hold of yourself. That's what he's saying. In the King James, it uses the word temperance, which is the ability to control oneself, moderation, or constraint. Now, to look at this, we might be tempted to think that it's something that I can do on my own. It's something you can do on your own. But here's the thing. It's listed as a fruit of the Spirit, which therefore means it's got to be something that the Spirit does within you. Because aren't most of our problems stem from times when we thought, I got this. I got this. I'm in control of this. And then, bam, Life happens. That's why we got to listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. Well, what good purposes? The ones he talks about in Ephesians 2:10. The ones that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And it's as we walk in the Spirit that he will lead us to each and every one of those, because he's already given us the personality and the gifting and all that we need to be obedient to those things. And so as we walk with the Holy Spirit, and as we're saying, fill in me, create in me, sow into my life, help my heart be good soil so that these seeds take root and bear fruit in me, here's some of the proofs in our lives that God is at work, and it's the ability to control our thoughts, our words, and our actions. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. I love this. To the obedience of Christ. If I'm going to obey him, I got to get a hold of my thinking. What leads up to the statement that we take every thought captive is important, because of verse 3, Paul states that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. When he's talking about taking every thought captive, he's talking about spiritual warfare. And he's saying you can't rely on just human ingenuity or man-made plans to get your victory and obtain your victory. He's saying the flesh is powerless against the wiles of the devil. So what I'm going to help you with this, because we don't like feeling like anything is smarter than us. The devil is better at being bad than you are at trying to be good. Okay? You with me? The devil outsmarts you. The devil will work. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. How many of y'all slept last night? All right, he's about 8 hours ahead of you. All right, that's what I'm saying. He said, if you try to just do it in your flesh, and you try to do it on your own, and you try to do it in your own thinking and your own planning, he's saying you are going to be outsmarted and overwhelmed. But you've got to have the Holy Spirit at work in you. Our flesh, though it's powerless against the wiles of the devil, in verse 4, Paul mentions the strongholds or the fortresses that are destroyed by God's powers. And these strongholds are philosophies and arguments and proud opinions, things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God that he talks about in verse 5. And our weapons in the spiritual battle are not carnal, but mighty through God. And as we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12:2, I'm kind of rolling through. You should highlight. You should write this down and read this. This is good stuff. Romans 12:2. We engage in the battle against the thinking of this world. And trusting Christ and rightly dividing the word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, we take every thought captive. We pull down the strongholds of our lives. And by the grace of God, we find freedom from captivity. That's what self-control brings to you. So as I move in the Holy Spirit in my life, I'm being empowered and I begin to find victory. And what that means is this. When I find myself in a situation and instead of reacting in the flesh, I'm going to respond in the Spirit. God, what do you want me to do? And God says, this is what I want you to pray for them. I want you to love them. I want you to wash their feet. I want you to serve them. I want you to turn the other cheek. I want you to bite your tongue, Wes. And I go, God, I don't want to do that. God says, if you're going to obey me, this is what you need to do. And as I say, all right, God, I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to find out if you're right. He always is. And I obey him, and all of a sudden I find victory. You know what happens? I grow in this. And I start saying, hey, you know what? He really does know what's going on. He really is the best way. He really is the way that I need to walk. And as I do it, we get stronger in it. As I'm learning to walk like Christ, I begin to have my mind renewed so I can think more like him and less like me. Ephesians 4, 21 to 24. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on a new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I mean, God wants to take your thoughts captive. And we got to let him, and it can happen. It can happen. If you're like something gets in your head, and it's like one of those boar worms, it just gets in your thinking, and you can't get it out, man, you need the Holy Spirit. Somebody offends you or steps on your toe, and it's in your brain all day long. I'm telling you, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. You're mad all day. They don't even know you're mad. You're mad all day. You can't get that out of your spirit in your own flesh. You need the work of the Holy Spirit to help take your thoughts captive so that we're free to see what God is doing and step into it and find our liberty and find our freedom. That's where victory is found. Another thing is this. Another proof that God is working in our lives is in our words. In our words, the tongue is a small part of the body, James 3:5 says. And yet Proverbs 18:21 tells us that it has the power of life and of death. Listen, when Scripture talks about the tongue, it's talking about the spoken word. And we have probably all been in a conversation that words were said that crushed our spirits. And if you've been in that, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, you punch that person right square in the face. That's a lie. That is not true. That is not true. Wait, don't punch anybody in the face. That's the flesh. Words hurt. Words hurt. And it can suck life, and it can suck energy out of you. And there are situations that come up, man, that don't just kind of prick your spirit, but they steal a part of your heart. You mourn it. They suck that life, or a spoken word that can come in just the right moment, at just the right time, in just the right way, and it gives life to you. All of a sudden, it's like you're breathing air again for the first time, and it builds you up. And it strengthens your heart, and it gives you strength to keep pressing on. The tongue is a powerful thing. What our tongue produces has eternal impact because it reveals what is in our hearts. Jesus said in Matthew 12:35-37, a good man brings good out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in him. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. That's pretty serious. That's a big deal, folks. Do you understand the importance now of not reacting but responding? Of not jumping into the flesh and then coming back later after they're beaten up, bruised, and bleeding and saying, oh, I'm sorry about that. I was having a bad day. It's got to be more. God calls us to more. God calls us to deeper. Another proof that God is working in our lives is our actions. And it's not that, and you got to get this, it is not that we are weak-willed. I want to explain this to you. Some people who are not saved are incredibly strong-willed. And it's why they aren't saved yet. You follow what I'm saying? They're strong. It's not an issue of being weak-willed. It's an issue of having a sin nature. And there's a difference. I know Christians who struggle with things. Stubborn is all get out. But we still struggle with certain things. And you've got to understand, we have a fallen nature that is under the influence of sin. The Bible calls it being a slave to sin. And a definition of sin could be this: filling a legitimate need through illegitimate means. That means God's got a way to do it, but we substitute for something. We're trying to fill it in with something easier, cheaper. We think it's better and greater. It's not. It always is going to cost you more than you think it was going to cost you, take you further than you thought you were going to go, and it's going to leave you hurt and leave you broken because that's the nature of sin. All sin does is steal, kill, and destroy. That's all it does. Without the Holy Spirit at work in us, growing the fruit of self-control, we can be lost. So here, true self-control is not about bringing ourselves under our own control, but under the power of Christ. That's what it is. It's self-control and me recognizing, really, God, I need you. God, I need you to move, and I need you to help me. There's this old saying that if you could kick the person responsible for most of your troubles, you wouldn't be able to sit down for weeks. It's the truth. Even when we know what is right and good and comfort and desire take precedence, we want what we want. I know I shouldn't, but I'm just going to a little. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to watch what I want, so I'm not going to have a big piece of cake. I'll just have a little piece of cake. Right? I know I shouldn't look, and I know I shouldn't watch, but I'm just going to take a peek. I know I need to forgive, but you know what, Lord? They're mean, they're ugly, and they're jerks. And so I'm just going to carry a grudge just a little while so they know I'm mad at them. Listen, sin in moderation is still sin, and it still leads to death. Is that okay to say? Good, because I'll say it again. Sin in moderation is still sin, and it still leads to death. But as self-control grows in my life by the working of the Holy Spirit, I learned that I can say no to sin because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. It doesn't have to hold me like it's held me in the past. I don't have to be the person that I used to be in the past. I don't have to react the same way. I can respond now through the power of Christ because of the cross, because of all that God has done. I'm not that same person. I might look the same. I might walk the same. But I'm telling you, that person is dead and a new person is alive in me. And I can walk bearing fruit in my life that will remain because the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And that's true for me, and it's true for you, and it's true for all of us. He says in Romans 6, 6 and 7, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. So as the Holy Spirit grows in us self-control, I can say no to sin. And I'm telling you, that's a whole lot more powerful than Nancy Reagan's just say no. I don't have to be those things. I don't have to do those things. I've got something greater inside of me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. I love that. Endure, sustain, abide, remain. You see it? God said, you stay with me. Stay with me. And the enemy's going to do what the enemy's going to do. But as long as we're doing what we're called to do, then you know what? He's not going to be able to lock you up, bind you up, trap you up, box you up, you know, foothold, snare you, whatever word you want to use. He's not going to be able to do it because when you keep your eyes on me, I'm going to navigate you around every pitfall and every hole. And you're going to be a light in darkness. You're going to be salt to the earth. You're going to be a candle not hidden under a basket, but shines bright for the whole world to see. You walk with me, and you're going to do it self-controlled. Self-controlled. Because I have come under the power of Christ. 2 Peter 2, 5 through 8. In view of this, makes every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and with self-control, patient endurance. I love that. Patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, self-control naturally leads to perseverance as long as we value the long term instead of the instant gratification of the world. Self-control is a gift from God to you through the Holy Spirit, and it frees us from guilt, it frees us from regret, it frees us from being a slave to sin. We can find freedom to love, freedom to live, freedom to walk the life that God has created us to walk. So let's get a grip. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.